Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movement for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin sale pro.
Show,
they got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Guzu Saba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity is so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, if you think this shit won't be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth a crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise. Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movement for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin sale pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, and that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police departments to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
What's it gonna be?
G-Wagon, all defended, the garden, ride the wind, I know you, never die or nothing. Make you no say anything when you do, them must commend it.
I can't come and keep myself.
So anything when you do, I they try to they do on my way.
I can't come and keep myself.
Plenty, plenty, plenty so far we be paid. Just to make sure money day. But my people can go say I know one buy, I know one die, I know one spend me. I want enjoy, I want chop life, I want buy motor, I want build house, I still want to know. Tell me, my nigga, what you come? G-Wagon, all the Bentley, the Gazette, ride the whip, I know be, die for nothing, my nigga, what's it gonna be, G-Wagon, all the Bentley, the Gazette, ride the whip, I know be, different things them happening, schemes and packaging, in a one night for shows I'm juggling, flow like the ocean, my boat I'm paddling, shout out Shina fella, that's my bro, my family, Rose and Jay. When it comes to money, I take concentrate. Make I tell you straight, you are not my mate. If you become a shall I be head of state. But my people then go say, I know one buy, I know one die, I know one payment, I want enjoy, I want chop life, I want buy motor, I want build house, I still want to know. Tell me, money gun, what's it gonna be? G-Wagon, all the Bentley, think I can ride the whip, I know be, die for nothing. My nigga, what's it gonna be? G-Wagon, all the Bentley, the garden, ride the whip, I know be, die for nothing. Oh, no, I born out.
Oh, right here is for the people.
Carry the language of Egyptian mummies on a flag or a moon, and can't find food for the starving tummies. Pay no mind to the youth, cause it's not like the future depends on it. But there's animals in the zoo, cause the chimpanzee them a make big money. This is how the media pillages on TV, the picture is savages the villages, and the scientists still can't explain the pyramids. Evangelists making a living on the videos of ribs of the little kids, stereotyping the image of the images, and this is what the image is. You buy a car, keep on stand, all of a sudden you are there in Indiana Jones. And I keep out the gold and keep out the scrolls and even the bird bones. Some of the worst paparazzi I've ever seen and I've ever known. Put the words on this place that the world can see and it's all I will ever show. So the ones in the west will never move east and feel like we'll be at home. Get tricked by the beast, but the way them are gonna flee when the monster is fully grown. All I'm on this line is where them two can defeat and them could have never clown. A spiritual DNA that's sent in my soul and I will forever own, Lord.
Yeah. Sabali, patience. What the old folks told me. Can you give a that? Discovering a world before this world. A world buried in time. Uncovered with rhymes, it gets no realer.
We born not knowing, are we born knowing all? We growing wiser, are we just growing tall? Can you read thoughts? Can you read palms? Can you predict the future? Can you see storms coming? The earth was flattered, you went too far, you would fall off. Now the earth is round, if the shape changed again, everybody would have stopped love. The average man can't prove of most of the things that he chooses to seek of, and still run research and find out the roots of the truth that they seek of. Galas teach in universities and claim that they're smart and cunning. Tell them find a cure when we sneeze and that's when their nose starts running. And the rich get fixed up when we get cut. Wanna heal them broken bones in the bush with a wet mud. Can you resign? Can you restart? Can you make peace? Can you fight war? Can you milk cows, even though you drive cars? Can you survive against all odds now?
It's crazy. When you feed people the truth, you don't know how they're gonna react. You're scared of wrongdoers, people that's just ignorant. Scared of the truth. Be patient. For now. Who wrote the Bible? Who wrote the Quran? And was it a lightning storm that gave birth to the earth and then dinosaurs were born? Who made up words? Who made up numbers? And what kind of spell is mankind under? Everything on the planet we preserve and can it. Microwave it, try it, no matter what, we'll survive it. What's you? What's man? What's human? Anything along the land we consuming. Eating, deleting, ruining. Trying to get paper. Gotta have land, gotta have acres. So I can sit back like Jack Nicholson, watch niggas play the game like the Lakers. In a world full of 52 fakers, gypsies, seances, mystical prayers. You superstitious, throw salt over your shoulders, make a wish for the day cuz. Like somebody got a doll of me, sick of needles in my artery, but I can't feel it. Sometimes it's like part of me, but I got a real big spirit. I'm fearless, I'm fearless. Don't you try to grab hold of my soul. Like a military soldier, since 7 years old, I held real dead bodies in my arms, till their body turned cold. Oh, why are we born in the first place if this is how we gotta go? Damn. All
the wisdom and knowledge seekers of the world. Savali, patience. Yeah.
Say we N-I-double-G-E-R, we are much more. Still we choose to ignore the obvious. Man, this history don't acknowledge us. We were scholars long before colleges. They say we N-I-double-G-E-R, we are much more. But still we choose to ignore the obvious. We are the slaves and the master. What you looking for? You the question and the answer. We trust no black leaders. Use the stove to heat us. Powdered eggs and government cheeses. The calendars with Martin, JFK, and Jesus. Gotta be fresh to go to school with fly sneakers. Schools with outdated books. We are the forgotten. Summer's cooling off by the fire hydrant. Yeah, I'm from the ghetto with old black women talking about their sugar level. It's not unusual to see photos of dead homies' funerals. Aluminum foil on TV antennas. Little TV sit on top to big TV eating TV dinners. Girls out of here with Kool-Aid. They gave us lemons, we made lemonade. But this nigga's paid, ancestry of slaves. Descendant of kings is necessary, I blink. Put rims on everything, wear Tims on every scene. They say we N-I-double-G-E-R, we are much more. Still we choose to ignore the obvious. Man, this history don't acknowledge us. We were scholars long before colleges. They say we N-I-double-G-E-R, we are much more. But still we choose to ignore the obvious. We are the slaves and the master. What you looking for? You the question and the answer. Do I mean it like a slave master, nigga? No, I'm gangster, gotta eat rappers. My abbreviation was young when I caught the cases. That should mean the court could see my changes. Take off the bracelets, Savage went broke. Smoke sour diesel, need no Bowflex. My chest still cut up like a bag of dope. Thought patterns consist of boss matters. Spit Moses' lost commandments like a gross sandwich out my mouth. Toast to government cameras, peeping us every week. I must have my cars, homes, and phones sweep for bugs. But this is what I was dreaming of. Between cutting hard coke with new razors slicing my fingers up. They used to string us up, we wanted everything. But the one bringing us cake be the snake slicer. Like the New Jack City wedding scene. No time for mistakes, trying to get it like Medellin. They say we N-I-double-G-E-R, we are much more. Still we choose to ignore the obvious. Man, this history don't acknowledge us. We were scholars long before colleges. They say we N-I-double-G-E-R, we are much more. But still we choose to ignore the obvious. We are the slave and the master. What you looking my for? Nigga. You the question and the answer. People afraid of criticism, but I always put myself in a sacrificial position. They been know I ain't just rapping for fame. I got my old homie half-sister father acting for change. Yup, I get a cash up, this paper don't matter. They see me from skinny to fatter. When I rap about war, they got a tendency to scatter. They ain't my backup no more, so now my enemies are at my front door. Cause anytime we mention our condition, our history, our existence, they calling it reverse racism. Still to this day the streets torn. My brother Jung, I always have a seat for him. Not behind me, beside me, you always know where to find me. They say the close ones are hurt you, so let's keep a small circle. On the road to riches and diamond rings. In the land of the blind, a man with one eye is the king. They say we N-I-double-G-E-R, we are much more. Still we choose to ignore the obvious. Man, this history don't acknowledge us. We were scholars long before colleges. They say we N-I-double-G-E-R, we are much more. But still we choose to ignore the obvious. We are the slaves and the master. What you looking for? You the question and the answer.
Black power, black power, black power. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this evening's New Black Panther Friday night broadcast. I am your anchorman and co-host, Brother Eugene Talford, reporting live from Charlotte, North Carolina. This is Friday, January 7th, 2022. We are United African Peoples, bringing vital information from all around the world throughout the African diaspora. Jumbo and Habaragani, in the words of Kiswahili, welcome to this evening's program. The New Black Panther Party extends a big up to all of our dynamic brothers and sisters tuning in each and every week. We are Black Grassroots Organizations United, over 300,000 members, networkers, and affiliates worldwide.
Black power.
We are operating together. We are Black activists, for-profit, and non-profit organizations working together to make a difference in the communities in which we live. In the words of Kiswahili, Tuka Pamoja, we are together. All power to the people. All power to the people. Right now, I'd like to bring in one of our most strongest and dynamic brothers of the New Black Panther organization, Brother Greg Katim, and we'll allow him to get on the mic to tell you about tonight's program and broadcast. Black Power, Brother Greg, are you there?
Black Power, Black Power. I was just in and out because they're trying to, there's some technical difficulties with connecting in from Brazil. I don't know if I should say for some reason or whatever. Most of the people there, they use WhatsApp, and it's you're not able to dial directly in through that app to our phone lines. So they're working out a couple of little solutions to that, but that's the holdup on bringing everyone in for tonight's show. I know it's a little difficult for some to try to call internationally because of the cost from many of the countries in South America, but they are working on a solution right now. So hopefully any minute or any moment now we could get them in. It's one of those things where obstacles come up, and it just seems like obstacles, come up at these moments when we have something that we've really, really worked hard to, to put together. And when we know that we have some great information, some great contacts and connections that could impact a lot of people, that seems to be when, a lot of these obstacles comes up. And, as I mentioned, a couple of weeks ago, that the organization and many of the organizations there as well as here has had the same things happen over the past 40 some odd years, meaning whenever there was some opportunity that came about where the organizations can really connect and unite, that things happened. I'll put it that way. I know back then in the 70s, the government, both governments really were very instrumental in making sure that it didn't happen. So, it's just another stumbling block, that we're working on. I know Marcelo is, working on a couple of things. And actually I just got a text message came in. And great, great, great suggestion that our sister just, sent me. So, Eugene, can you take over for just a moment? And I think we got a solution to this. Black power.
Yeah, for sure. Black power, brother. And thank you for that informative information. Broadcasting right now on the New Black Panthers Friday night broadcast. And we have a special guest that's going to be coming up here shortly. Brother Greg Khatib, Field Marshal, peace and blessings to you and your family. And it's an honor to have a brother like you on our team, always putting in that work. A blessing go out to you and your family. Also, we want to spend a special Asante and a special blessings go out to Sister Crystal Muhammad, our leading First Lady and General of the New Black Panther Party. Grandmother passed away yesterday evening, and so we want to extend out a big peace and blessings go out to she and her family in a moment of silence. So we'll take a few seconds and to give her grandmother, our ancestors, great ancestors, a going off in a peaceful manner. We'll give a few seconds of a silence. Yeah, so that's what's up, Black Power. These are people who are forever making a difference. These are people forever making it happen. So a special going home to Sister Crystal Muhammad's grandmother. Also, we'd like to give a big Asante out to go out to all of our supporters and all of our sponsors, all of our contributors, our business partners, all of our Black Nation troops and security teams, the NBP, Black Cross Medical Resource Rescue Team, and also social workers team. We also want to give a honorary big up to the New African Network, its board of directors and team members and affiliates for helping to contribute to so much of this vital information that we share across the African diaspora. So a big up to all of the board of directors. We hope that you have a peaceful weekend as well as a prosperous, peaceful, and restful weekend. Another shout out go out to one of our co-sponsors of a program like we bring to you each and every week, a company by the name of Exquisite Import Export Trading Company, doing business as ETC Logistics USA. It is your one-stop shop international network for international trade and logistics. For more information about shipping and international trade throughout the African diaspora, whether it's in the U.S., the Caribbean, the Central and South America, or Africa, call for more information, 1-800-216-1750. That's 1-800-216-1750, transporting worldwide. And so hopefully we'll be bringing in to tonight's guests here very shortly with Brother Greg Khatib, Phil Marshall, and we have a very dynamic guest coming on tonight's program, Mr. Jose Abdul D. Oliveira. He is the founder and CEO of the Unified Black Movement Organization out of Sao Paulo, Brazil. Big up to a brother like that. We understand the organization been in existence since 1978. That's about the same time that the New Black Panthers organization formed, about a little 10 years earlier. But yeah, they seemed like they was in the big movement itself for bringing in such a dynamic piece of our history. Along with Mr. Oliveira, tonight we're going to have his translator will also be coming on as a guest as well, Dr. Marcelo Jose. And we're going to be welcoming these brothers coming on to share some insight information on the African diaspora. We're speaking right here in the Americas. Brazil, very dynamic and culturally rich country, a nation of black African people that have been there for many centuries. And many of our brothers and sisters, as we know from in Brazil, share very similarities to what Africans in the United States have experienced and have had culturally as well. They have been people who have shaped a very dynamic nation, Brazil, culture, economics, as well as just the overall life of living in South America, having those African roots connected as well. So let's see how far we're coming along here. Brother Katib, any progress on the guests coming on tonight? Hey, Brother Katib, can you hear me there? Any progress with the guests being patched in tonight? Okay, seem like we're still going to have to continue on here, so we'll stay tuned. So, yeah, this has been a very exciting week here with the new year taking place. And we want to give a big hat off to our brothers and sisters over there in Ethiopia on the Ethiopian calendar. Just started today with the opening of the Christmas holidays. And so there's very exciting times over there that's taking place with a part of the celebrations and festivities around African Christianity and the making of the Holy Bible as well as the Holy Quran. All of that comes right out of the land originally known as Kemet out of Ethiopia all the way up to the lands which we are known as Egypt today. So sounds like we have our guest coming in. Brother Katib, can you hear me okay?
Now, this Greg, I think, I know Marcelo.
Eu não estou certo que eles vão conseguir ouvir, mas vamos tentar, tá bom? Não precisa falar alto, não. A gente vai trabalhar com o volume que a gente tem. Eles não estão ouvindo a gente.
Okay,
não.
Marce- ok, Marcelo.
Oh, they're listening to us. Yes?
Hey, Marcelo, this is Greg. You can hear me?
I can hear you. You can hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Who do you have on who do you have on the line?
Yes, right now is from Mr. José Adão.
Okay, can you ask him to say something so we can hear?
Yeah, just a minute. Adão, pode falar alguma coisa aí pra gente ouvir aí?
Tá legal. Tá aqui no celular que a Cris da Vila Guilhermina está me ouvindo. É isso mesmo?
Cris, he said something. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, Greg?
Okay. Yep, we heard him loud and clear. You can just translate and say what he said.
Great. Come on. We're on.
That's good.
A Cris, viu, Marcelo e Greg, né? A Cris da Vila Guilhermina, ela lidera, ela e o Emerson, lidera o slam. Aqui tem a estação do metrô, tem uma árvore frondosa, aí tem uma roda dos jovens, né? Aí faz o slam embaixo dessa árvore, né? Já há algum tempo. Aí criaram o Islã interescolar, né?
Uhum.
E aí a sequência de Islã foi publicada num livro, e esse livro venceu o prêmio Jabuti no Brasil, agora em 2021. A Cris está conosco aqui, me traz muita alegria.
Yeah. Mr. Adam is informing all the people, all the black people in the United States about the Chris from Vila Guilhermina, São Paulo, Brazil, and her activities related to the black movement here, there in Brazil. So take this opportunity to test our sound system and also to send a message to all black friends, all the black folks in Brazil, nossos amigos negros in Brazil. So, Greg, I think now your turn. So... let's work.
All right. Well, as we've told everyone for the past couple of weeks, and as well as you and I, Marcella, we've been contacting, each other for, you believe it or not, how fast time flies. It's over a year, and for everyone who's listening, Marcella and I, we were introduced to each other through a mutual friend in Brazil, Ethan, who at the time was studying, African, Afro-Brazilian history and culture. And Ethan and I, we've known each other for probably a good five years. And we've always talked about how we could, introduce our experiences, our culture, our history to not only to one another, but to others, in Brazil and vice versa. So for the past year, Marcelo and I, we've really been communicating and building a great, great, great friendship. And I definitely want to take this opportunity to say, Marcelo, thank you so much for all of the research and material that you've given me. That's been tremendously, helpful and useful. So, tonight is a very special moment, something that, Ethan and I have been talking about for a little over 5 years, having the opportunity for the organizations in both countries to actually have some good dialogue and to build some good relationships.
So thank you, Greg. Thanks so much. Yeah, to me, it's a pleasure as a Brazilian, as a Black activist and Brazilian researcher, be part of it and happy to help, because we do believe that our struggle is an international struggle against the oppression, against the racism. So it's my pleasure to me as a Brazilian to be part of it, and it's me a great honor to be translating this meeting and talk with you guys from the NPPP and also talk with Mr. Adão from MNU from Brazil. So two huge organizations that defend the Black rights in Brazil and in the United States. So my pleasure. So I'm very happy to be part of it.
Black power. So you can ask our brother Adão if he just wants to begin by just sharing a little bit about himself and then about the organization and the movement.
Okay, just a minute. Adão, o Greg está pedindo para você fazer uma breve apresentação sobre sua pessoa, sua trajetória profissional, sua trajetória política, e falar um pouco sobre o ativismo, falar sobre o ativismo brasileiro. Eu peço para você, por favor, falar por volta de uns 30 segundos, um minuto mais ou menos, para dar um tempinho para poder traduzir o que o senhor está falando. Tá ok? Vamos lá?
Uhum. Bom, sou José Adão de Oliveira, trabalho como... Sou formado em gastronomia e trabalho como educador social. Sou um dos cofundadores do Movimento Negro Unificado, em 1978. Represento o Movimento Negro Unificado no Fórum Municipal de Educação, aqui na cidade de São Paulo. Faço parte hoje sou coordenador estadual de formação e contribuo com alguns coletivos na área de educação, meio ambiente, governo aberto, e contribui também como avaliador voluntário, dos cadernos negros.
José Adão, he's a co-founder of the Brazilian Black Unified Movement, and today he's graduated on gastronomy. Also, he represents the MNU, the Movimento Negro Unificado, the Black Unified Union, In the São Paulo City Council. São Paulo is the largest Brazilian city and the largest city in Latin America. And also in José Adão also represents MNU and the state forums. And also he works in discussion in political discussions related to environment and education in this São Paulo state.
So, complementando, o Movimento Unificado em 2018 fez 40 anos, né, de ação, né? E aí a organização Soweto propôs que fizéssemos um livro contando a história do MNU. Então foi feito esse livro, é um livro que tem 216 páginas, 68 fotos, né, chama-se Movimento Negro Unificado, a Resistência nas Ruas, uma parceria do Edições Sesc e Fundação Perseu Abramo. E eu fui o organizador do livro, né, em nome do MNU, ao lado da Givanilda Santos, que foi pela Soweto, né, e o Enio Braus, que foi pelos fotógrafos, né? E o livro conta a história, assim, nesses 40 anos, né, do movimento negro, mas os artigos escritos nesse livro traz a história desde a década de 20, né, com a Frente Negra Brasileira, com o João Cândido Felisberto, 1910, né, com a Abdias Nascimento, né, e tem fotografias de várias lideranças, né, que são referências, né, brasileiras e até internacional na luta racial. Então, é uma grande alegria, né, ser indicado para ser o organizador dessa grande produção.
José Adão is informing that besides all his own political trajectory, recently, he worked as organization, as an organizer, as a coordinator, he coordinated, actually, a book of that tells the history of the unified black movement, the Brazilian unified black movement in the year 2018. So, in 2018, the MNU, the Brazilian MNU, made more than 40 years of existence. So, and then the Soweto editors, with Adão, José Adão, organized a book of articles telling the story of the MNU within these 40 years. But the history of the black movement in Brazil is not narrowed on these 40 years. Because of that, this same book has references for the beginning of the black struggle in Brazil in 20th century. Because of that, this book mentions also groups such as the Brazilian Black Front, the Frente Negra Brasileira, many of Brazilian black intellectuals and activists such as Abdias Nascimento, João Cândido, the Mariner, and between them, you know, amongst others, many relevant personnel in the Brazilian black movement. So, and José Adão, he reported the fact that he has the honor to be part of this book, to organize this book, the authors, and be part of this organization of this book as a whole.
We had a little bit of feedback from somewhere. Okay.
Feedback. There's a feedback here, Adão.
Perdão?
Esse barulho é aí contigo? Just a minute.
The feedback is gone. Okay,
yeah.
Fantastic. I do have a question before he continues on. Does the MNU in São Paulo stay in contact with the brothers and sisters in Rio de Janeiro? And I asked that question because there's a brother with MNU in Rio who actually stays in contact with Yedo Ferreira. So I want to know if Adal contacts or stays in communications with yes. Yedo and the others in Rio.
Yeah, was his name is Yedo?
Yes.
Yedo Ferreira. Okay. Just a minute. Greg. Adão, José Adão, o Greg está perguntando para a gente se o MNU de São Paulo tem contatos com o MNU carioca do Rio de Janeiro, em especial o ativista chamado Yedo Ferreira.
Sim, nós temos um grupo nacional com mais de 400 militantes, onde nós dialogamos constantemente, diariamente, e temos sim contato com o Yedo Ferreira e demais militantes.
Yeah,
o Yedo é o nosso decano, né? Uma grande referência, né? Uma grande memória, né? Do movimento negro, da maneira geral, especialmente do MNU. Esteve conosco no dia 7 de julho de 78, nós, antes mesmo do lançamento do ato público, no qual veio Yedo Ferreira, Amaury Mendes, Lélia Gonzalez, Abdias Nascimento e Elisa Zalar, que vieram do Rio de Janeiro. Antes mesmo desse dia, nós tínhamos encontros, né, no Rio de Janeiro, né, com lá o IPCN, com Simba, com Seba, Cândido Mendes, né? E, então, já tínhamos esse contato com o Iedo. E o Iedo também, além disso, na trajetória, participou dos nossos vários congressos, uma memória muito ativa dos congressos. Esteve em Durban, 2001, né, na questão do congresso de reparações, xenofobia, né? Então,
Yeah, José Adão is telling us that he knows Yedo Ferreira, and he highlights the fact that the MNU, the Unified Brazilian Black, the Unified Black Movement in Brazil, is a nationwide organization that has more than 400 militants all over Brazil. So, and also he calls attention that Yedo Ferreira is one of the historical militants of MNU since 1978. In 1978, in July 7, 1978, the Unified Black Movement was founded in São Paulo, but was a coalition of groups that usually meet in different places in Brazil, including Rio de Janeiro, including the black groups in Rio de Janeiro that Yedo Ferreira was part of. And also, this first big meeting that created the MNU in Brazil counted with the presence of José Adão, Yedo Ferreira, Lélia Gonzalez, Abdias Nascimento, among many, many relevant militants, the black militants at that time. So, but also, José Adão called us the attention that before MNU, we have different black groups in Rio de Janeiro and São Paulo and different states that they used to meet, would make many meetings and the discussion of the racial issues in Brazil. So finally, he called to highlight the fact that Yedo Ferreira was a militant that was part of different congresses discussing racial issues in Brazil, including the meeting in Durban in 2001. So I wish to add one element for the information from this, what I don't, the fact that the Brazil within the years 1970s was amidst a very aggressive dictatorship. So So all the meetings, all the MNU meetings at that time were maybe against the Brazilian war.
Oh, okay. That's some great information. And again, as I said from the beginning, you know, you've really, you know, brought and exposed a lot of great information to me personally. So I'm like a kid in a candy store where I get to pick the brain. I get to pick the brain of, you know, an original founding member of, I like to say, one of our black movement organization, you know, from abroad. So it's definitely an honor. I'm not sure if Brother Eugene, your mic is you still open?
Yes, if Regina, just a minute. No, yes, if Regina unfortunately did not join us until now.
Oh,
I think.
Oh, okay. Okay, all right. I have another question, which is, what was something or some of the major events that happened that led to the creation and formation of MNU? Were there any incidents specifically that happened that led those who began the organization to do something about it? Were there injustices that were going on, and it just got to the point where I like to say enough is enough, and we're going to do something about it?
Okay, I got it. José, Greg e o NBPP estão perguntando se houveram algum ou alguns eventos que fizeram precipitar a fundação do MNU. Aí ele está perguntando para você o que aconteceu antes que favoreceu a criação do MNU em 1988.
Nós já tínhamos uma atuação, já existia desde 77 o Núcleo Negro Socialista, que discutia as questões raciais, que atuava no sindicato, no estudantil, em várias áreas. Né? Tinha o Grupo Afro-Latino-América, que era o jornal Versus. O Versus existia desde 75. E a Afro-Latino-América foi criada em 77, né? Devido a um artigo da jornalista Neuza Maria Pereira sobre a questão da mulher. Então, esses dois grupos já atuavam antes no movimento. E o jornal Verso, a editoria Afro-Latino-América, era um dos meios, né, que se tinha de discutir politicamente, né, problemas do negro no Brasil. Tinha, desde 76, um jornal chamado Árvore das Palavras, que era impresso, mimeografado, pelo Milton Barbosa, Rafael Pinto, Lutinha. Era um grupo chamado Decisão, que atuava junto ao Centro de Cultura e Arte Negra, CECAM. Esses dois grupos dialogavam entre si e recebiam, né, as demandas que aconteciam. Aí, no primeiro semestre, quatro garotos foram impedidos de entrar numa piscina, quatro garotos do time de voleibol do clube de regata Tietê. Foram impedidos de entrar numa piscina. Né? E aí houve uma denúncia, né? Chegou ao nosso conhecimento e ficou discutido, mas a gente não teve como tomar outra posição. Depois entrou na justiça e tal. No final de abril, um jovem chamado Robson Verde da Luz foi torturado durante 14 horas pelo fato de ter, junto com um grupo de outros jovens, ter pego umas três caixas de frutas de um feirante. Mas eles conheciam o feirante depois de o ressarcir, né? E aí, mas ele foi preso, todos apanharam, mas ele foi torturado por 14 horas e veio a falecer. no hospital ou nas clínicas. Então, esses dois eventos é que foi um tipo de um basta, né? Tem que tomar alguma decisão, tem que tomar alguma reação, né? Foi quando nós convidamos as demais entidades, né, que a gente conhecia, né, no dia 18 de junho, aí foi feita a reunião no SECAM, né, onde compareceram grupos, né, culturais, né, da comunidade negra, o pessoal que fazia baile, ações de beneficente, né, mas também pessoas brancas, né, Associação da Juventude Israelita do Estado de São Paulo, né, também compareceu, e aí foi fundado o Movimento Unificado contra a Discriminação Racial. Unificado significa a união das forças democráticas contra o racismo. Não era o unificado do movimento negro, nem existia o movimento negro enquanto movimento. Era unificado as forças democráticas contra o racismo. E essa iniciativa que chamou o ato público em cima da questão do assassinato do Robson, desses quatro garotos, né, para o ato público no dia 7 de julho de 78.
Yes, many information here, and I need to be very careful not to lose, you know, the order of information. Mr. Adão, please provide us a brief explanation about the genesis of the Unified Black Movement within the 1970s in Brazil. So he highlights the fact that actually before the MNU, actually existing in Brazil, especially in Rio de Janeiro and São Paulo State, many different groups that discussed the racial issues in Brazil. For example, he mentioned the Núcleo Negro Socialista. I think it can be translated like a socialist group, a black socialist group related to the leftist ideas. And also, there's just this political group, especially was connected to unions and students, and politically connected with unions and students. And also, we have some journals, some newspapers, so some considered by the dictatorship as subversive newspapers related to the black discussion, such as the Afro-African Latin American group, and also and the newspaper called Versus, and also the newspaper called Árvore das Palavras, such something could be translated such as the tree of words. Sorry, Afro-Latin America group was not a newspaper. The newspaper was a political group. Sorry. So, and the year 1978, two big events were considered the landmark of the foundation of the MNU. Two different events. One event was related to four volleyball players in a very famous volleyball club in Brazil called, I'm not sure, I think the Corinthians was Corinthians, né, Adão? O clube?
Não, o clube de regatas Tietê.
Perdão, Tietê, yes. The Tietê club, the volleyball players, the black volleyball players.
Era um clube de regatas, porque esse Tietê, ele foi fundado desde 1909, à beira do rio Tietê.
Yeah.
Mas esse clube tinha também um time de voleibol. E esses garotos do time de voleibol é que foram discriminados.
Yeah. Is a rowing club. Tietê in São Paulo, in São Paulo City in Brazil, is a big river inside the city. So we had a rowing club called Tietê, and this same club has a volleyball team. And it's black. They're black players. They went to the club to use the pool, but they could not use they were prohibited to use the pool because they were black. And in the same year, another event happened. A group of young kids, they went to, I don't know how to translate this word, but they were accused to rob some fruits in a groceries. So, but just but one of these young kids, the black young kid, was tortured, brutally tortured for more than 14 hours, and eventually he died because of the torture events. So for the Judge Adão and the black organizations at that time, it was, you know, the enough is enough. The situation was an absurd. So because of that, they invited many different organizations, not only black organizations, but many black organizations, but also some white organizations like, you know, the Jewish organization, the Israelite organization. So they meet, they met in a place, in a particular place in São Paulo. So, and they founded in that day the movement called the Movimento Negro, the Movimento Unificado Contra a Discriminação Racial, could be translated as a unified movement against the racial prejudice. But José Adão highlighted the fact that the word unified here was an appeal that the unification of the democratic forces, the civil society democratic forces in Brazil against the racial prejudice. Right?
Yes. It's for a lot of our listeners here, two things. Number one, you always hear me tell you how to hit that number one. Hit that number one. You got questions and comments. You know, don't just sit back and, we have a lot of people listening, and I always say, tell them, Marcelo, you know, push that number one, you know, number one button. But
here, right?
No, yep. I'm speaking to the listeners we have here in the United States. We have them all the time, you know, listening, and I know people have questions, so go ahead and hit that number one. But number two, for everyone mm-hmm. that's listening, that sounds very, very familiar. It should. When you have teenagers, you know, black teenagers of color denied the opportunity to swim in a local public pool, swimming pool, and they're racially profiled against, and they have to go through so many different, things. I mean, young teenagers, very familiar, same situation, same scenario here. And Marcel, he mentioned about, falsely accused of something and being beaten and tortured, for hours at a time. Very same thing mm-hmm. that happened here. Very, very, very same thing that happened here happened there, and as well as many things today. And that's one of the main reasons why, again, I appreciate, our friendship and being able to, have this, this time together tonight is just to help a lot of people see and hear and understand that what we go through as black people, it's worldwide. It doesn't matter if we're here in the United States, if we're in Brazil, we can be in Bogota, we can be in Caracas, we could be anywhere on the face of the earth. And we all endure some of the same treatments because of the color of our skin. So it's very, very good to hear that, being shared tonight and just how it's the same thing that we've experienced, here as well.
Okay. I'm typing out, I'm translating, I'm make a simultaneous translation here and typing in the chat for José Adão about this. So
okay.
That is José Adão? José? Tá lendo aí? I'm trying to translate. It's complicated to say in Portuguese and English. Eu estou tentando traduzir para você em tempo real aqui o que o Greg está falando. I'm trying to translate in a real time what Greg is talking about. Yes, it's impressive. As a translator, if you permit my opinion, it's impressive how the black experience all over the Americas, all over the world, are very similar, unfortunately.
I want to know if our brother Eugene, if his mic is still open, if he had any question or comment. I think his mic might be muted. Okay, well I have another question, which is, what are some of the things that MNU are involved in currently, you know, today?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Adão, a pergunta agora é, quais são os assuntos e as temáticas, as lutas que o MNU estão encampando agora no Brasil? Gostaria de ouvir esse comentário do senhor.
Uhum. Olha, infelizmente, a nossa grande luta é para garantia da sobrevivência de crianças, de jovens, né, por meio da vacinação, né, porque nós temos um presidente e um governo de tendências psicopatas, né, genocida, que acha que é possível enfrentar o coronavírus sem vacina, sem cuidado, sem máscara, né, numa questão, relação, como se não houvesse pensamento, né, na brutalidade e na relação natural da natureza, né? Então, muitos nossos faleceram, pessoas de idade, amigos queridos, Tayabe, Ismael Ivo, né? Muita gente. Minha tia, uma prima minha, né? Todas as pessoas poderiam estar vivas, né? Ou poderia não estar mortas, né? É uma grande dificuldade que a gente tem para manter a vida. E a partir da vacinação, já tem a vacina, né? A gente luta para que haja uma campanha nacional coordenada pelo Sistema Nacional de Saúde, o SUS, né? Sistema Único de Saúde, para que mais e mais crianças, né, de 5 a 11 anos sejam vacinadas, né? E as outras, né, que ainda falta ainda 33% da população falta vacinar. E a maioria dessas pessoas que estão morrendo são pessoas negras e indígenas, né? E geralmente pobres, em sua grande maioria, né? Então, infelizmente, a grande luta do MNU é por sobrevivência do povo. No segundo momento está a questão da alimentação, porque não tem condições econômicas, né, para se manter em meio à pandemia, com desemprego. Né, então, estamos fazendo junto com a Coalizão Negra, né, e tem também a CUFA, e tem outros movimentos, mas especialmente MNU, Ministério da Coalizão Negra, grandes campanhas de coletas, né, de cesta básica, de alimentos, né, e até alimentos orgânicos, né, que distribui em vários lugares, em todos os estados, né, do Brasil. Nós estamos fazendo esse trabalho de alimentação do povo. A terceira questão é a questão da educação, né, educação de qualidade, né. Então, o governo está implantando a escola cívico-militar, que é um horror, né? E está destruindo o sistema de educação que foi construído ao longo dos últimos 30 anos, né? E então traz muito prejuízo, né, para a gente. A quarta questão é a questão da...
Você tem voz. Você perdeu a voz. Please repeat again, você perdeu a voz. João, José Adão. Você está sem microfone, sem voz.
Okay, you can still hear me.
We lose the last point. I can translate the he mentioned four different points. I can mention the third, the first three, and he can talk about the fourth plan point later. He talked about the first. He talked that the main struggle at the Black Unified Movement in Brazil today is, unfortunately, he started saying that, unfortunately, the main struggle in Brazil today is related to the vaccination against the COVID-19 issues. You need to mention that the Brazilian government today is considered a far-right government, and also used to deny the existence of the need of vaccination, and large part of the Brazilian deaths on COVID-19 are Black people, usually Black people or indigenous or Brazilian indigenous people, and usually they are poor. So because of that, the MNU is committed to work against the government to promote a nationwide pro-vaccination campaign in Brazil today. And on this period, on the COVID-19 pandemic in Brazil, many militants of MNU lose their lives. So, and also, because attention that until today, more than 33% of Brazilian population did not have vaccinated yet. A large part of this population is Black, poor, and large part are the young and kids. So the second largest struggle of the MNU is engaged today is related to the struggle against the struggle for bring food for many of people. Because as one of the consequences of pandemic today was a large level of unemployment in Brazil. And as a consequence, a lot of people in Brazil are dying because they have no food. So because of that, the MNU and also groups such as the Black Coalition are collecting food and then sharing this food in different states and in different states for the Black people and the Black people and the poorest people in Brazil. And the third point was related to education. Because the Brazilian government today is also doing something very bad for the Brazilian education. They are promoting a new system of education based on the military ideas that, in a practical way, are disassembling the actual Brazilian education system. And also, we had a fourth point, José Adão. Can you tell us what's the fourth, quarto ponto? Liga, por favor, seu microfone.
Junto à questão da educação é a defesa das cotas das universidades, né? O programa vence agora, em 2022, nós estamos com a campanha nacional, junto com outras entidades do movimento negro, para prorrogar por mais 10 ou mais 20 anos. Porque no Brasil sempre houve cotas para brancos. Os fazendeiros podiam mandar seus filhos para a universidade. As filhas de militares, até hoje, né, têm vaga em universidade, têm benefício. E o sistema de cotas possibilitou que a cor dos estudantes houvesse uma mudança profunda, porque pessoas negras e indígenas, né, a partir de 2003, né, 2004, começaram em 2002, mas de uma forma mais intensa, né, somente a partir de 2012, com o Supremo Tribunal Federal que aprovou. E agora, 2012, ficou por 10 anos. né, é para ter uma avaliação. Então, a nossa campanha agora é para que, primeiro, que a avaliação seja feita, e era muitíssimo positiva em todos os sentidos, e segundo, né, que é uma política que continue até de forma permanente, até que a desigualdade de acesso à universidade seja resolvida.
Yes, the fourth point is extremely important. It's related to, it's also related to the education in Brazil. So, for just answer this question, I ask for a brief excuse because we need a brief contextualization. In Brazil today, we have a law from 2012 that creates spots for black and indigenous peoples in the Brazilian universities. So, and this law will be revealed. It's planned to be revealed in this year, in 2022. So, based on this contextualization, José Azão informed us that the fourth main struggle of the Brazilian Black Movement is the defense of the university quotas for Black folks and indigenous people in Brazil. So, because in this year, this public policy is planned to be revealed by the Brazilian Congress. So, and also José Adão called the attention that previous to the quotas for the black and indigenous people, we actually have quotas for the white people. For example, farmers of the richest farmers in Brazil, they have a spot in universities. Also, the daughters of the military men have also a spot in universities. But until 2012, so there were no quotas for the black people and indigenous people. And because of that, now we have this law in Brazil, actual law, that practically changes the face of the Brazilian universities. The Brazilian universities today become more diverse, you know, many people for different colors and genders and so on. But this public policy is planning to be revealed and maybe could be extinct in 2022. And it became also another point of interest of the Brazilian Black Movement. Greg?
Okay, all right. Black power. I got a text from Brother Eugene. I think he said he was trying to speak. You did, Eugene?
Yeah, Black Power, brother. Can you hear me okay now?
Oh, yeah, we can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, good, good. Thank you, man. Hey, first of all, we'd like to thank our guest tonight for coming on the New Black Panthers Friday night broadcast, Jose Edu Oliveira of the Unified Black Movement of Sao Paulo, Brazil, established since 1978. And also, we have a very dynamic person who is attending as his interpreter, translator, Dr. Marcelo Jose. And we'd like to thank you guys for coming on and sharing your experience this evening and to provide our audience with a little information about what's taking place there in Sao Paulo, Brazil, and Brazil as a collective black people of the South American nation of Brazil. It is Friday, January 7th, 2022. We'd like to thank all of our dynamic brothers and sisters who are tuning in tonight on the New Black Panther Friday night business broadcast with Brother Greg Khatib, Phil Marshall, and peace and blessings to all of you who are just tuning in. We are speaking with tonight's guest, Jose Edu Oliveira of the Unified Black Movement of Sao Paulo, Brazil. And this information that is being broadcast has very similarities of what we as African Americans experience here in the nation of Babylon here in the United States. Police brutality, racial injustice, inequity in the economic arena. We also hear stories of systematic genocide in Brazil on the both black population and also as well as the indigenous Indian culture of Brazil, dealing with systematic racism, also gentrification, where we understand they have many Europeans who come in and dominate the economic arena of Brazil, not allowing the indigenous African people of Brazil, Brazilian Africans, as well as Indians, to be able to partake in the financial arena, but also play a major part in upholding the Babylonian nation of Brazil as well. Brother, Brother Jose,
yes, sir.
A question for Jose. We understand that you guys have been in this movement since 1978, and that was pretty much around the same time the civil rights movement has started taking place here in the United States, around the 60s, early 60s, going on into the mid-80s here, where we've seen many injustices that are being carried out on the people, and especially you're talking about black people. I'm thinking that the Brazilians pay millions of dollars in taxes supporting the political as well as economic platform of Brazil. Your organization, being that it's been in existence since 1978, we are delighted to continue developing a relationship with our black grassroots organizations based here in the United States, one of them specifically being the New Black Panthers organization. We have the New African Network, the African Consortium, which have been looking at some of the problems that have been taking place in black communities worldwide. Are there any dialogue or negotiations in place to help partner with other grassroots organizations that could work towards developing a united African front, as well as partnering up in economics? Because we all know that black economics is black power, and so we see our Brazilian brothers and sisters could benefit by partnering up, not only through the political arena, but also economic arena. Is there a any dialogue or any programs put into place through the Unified Black Movement as a part of the solution process as well, for uniting our black brothers and sisters worldwide?
Yeah, let me see. Just to check in with you, because you understand what I'm saying, right, Eugene. Are you asking if the Brazilian Black Movement has a partnership with different grassroots organizations abroad, right? That's what I'm asking?
That's right. Having outer multinational connections with black grassroots organizations that could help further the movement and the improvement of black communities.
I got it. Zé, é uma questão longa. Nosso amigo, ele fez um grande agradecimento à nossa participação no programa, demonstrou um grande conhecimento da história da história brasileira e das discussões políticas brasileiras recentes. Mas nosso amigo gostaria de saber como que o ativismo negro brasileiro, especialmente o MNU, quais são os tipos, se e quais são os tipos de parcerias que o movimento negro unificado no Brasil teria com grupos que discutem a mesma temática fora do Brasil, com vistas ao fortalecimento dos laços políticos e econômicos da população negra, não só no Brasil, mas em outros lugares, como a gente fala, abroad. Porque ele enfatizou esse detalhe, que o poder econômico também faz parte do poder político, nesse sentido. Aí ele gostaria de ouvir o seu comentário nesse sentido aí.
Ok. Eu vou fazer um comentário mesmo, né? porque o MNU tem a coordenação de relações internacionais, né, que poderia falar sobre parcerias várias e tal, e eu não ocupo essa posição no MNU, né, então eu vou falar somente em comentários. Ao longo desses anos todos, nós atuamos sempre segundo um dos nossos pontos de nosso programa de ação, que é de solidariedade, né, aos povos oprimidos em todo o mundo. Né? Então, por exemplo, na questão, a juventude israelita é cofundador do MNU lá em 78, com Mirna Grisme, né, e outras pessoas que foram solidários a essa luta. Mas também o MNU teve um briar com a questão palestina, né, onde, inclusive, Milton Barbosa viajou num momento lá de solidariedade. Né, e o MNU também garantiu a palavra do Aritua, da presidente palestina, aqui na década de 80. Quando houve o furacão Katrina, aí em Nova Orleans, Estados Unidos, né, nós fomos uma comissão, né, o Milton Barbosa viajou para aí também, para estar acompanhando tudo. Na questão da década de 80, a Milton Bernardes Cardoso esteve aí também debatendo, inclusive, a Angela Davis, quando esteve aqui no Brasil recentemente, em 2019, ela até falou que tinha um brasileiro que se reivindicava Pantera Negra, que ela não lembrava o nome, mas ele se dizia Pantera Negra. Esse brasileiro é o Hamilton Bernardes Cardoso, que esteve aí fazendo vários diálogos, várias relações na década de 80. Atualmente, tem um canal chamado Pensar Pan-Africanamente, né, que a nossa coordenadora nacional é uma das colunistas, Nieda Leal, e aí nesse canal nós debatemos com várias pessoas, né, aqui do Brasil, dos Estados Unidos, né, na Europa, tem na África e muitos, né, tem, por exemplo, a Bethania Schroeder, que está na Alemanha, que é colunista, né, tem colunista em Cabo Verde, né, tem Moçambique. Então, nós debatemos a questão do negro, né, a nível internacional por esse canal também. Recentemente, houve uma conferência sobre a sexta região da diáspora negra, né, onde o James convidou, aí estava falando o Marquinhos Cardoso, aqui professor da Federal de Minas Gerais. Aí eu participei, o Flávio Jorge, da Conem, né? O Gilberto Leal, na Conem da Bahia. Né? Então, foi uma conferência internacional, estava discutindo a questão da sexta região num congresso que vai ter agora em 2022. Né? Nós participamos dessa discussão também. Eu, particularmente, integro um grupo chamado MOA, Movimento Afro-Latino, né? Que tem peruanos, tem pessoal do Caribe, tem pessoal de teatro aí nos Estados Unidos, tem da Espanha, da África, né? Que discute alguns pontos, como a questão agora, né, da saúde, a Covid, a questão do meio ambiente, proteção das florestas, né? A questão da cultura negra em termos de preservação. O grupo se constituiu desde março do ano passado, né, e a gente se reúne periodicamente, discutindo estatutos, e agora tem um processo de divulgação desse movimento. Em base, basicamente, são esses. Tem um que está se constituindo também, mas aí não seria o MNU particularmente, né? Mas o Instituto Ismael Ivo, está se constituindo, né? Ismaildo faleceu agora em abril de 2021. Ele foi o diretor do balé aí em Berlim, passou, né, nos Estados Unidos, né, e ultimamente era o diretor aqui do Balé da Cidade de São Paulo e diretor de cultura, de arte e TV Cultura, né? Ele faleceu e aí os amigos criaram o Instituto Ismael Vivo, né, que está em processo de constituição. E esse instituto tem bailarinos, né, aqui no Brasil e tem pessoas que estão nos Estados Unidos, tem pessoas que estão na Europa, né? E o Ismael foi um militante do movimento negrificado, né? Esteve em atos públicos, né, contra o racismo, em 81, esteve na Bahia também, em 81. Em 2019, né, fez um grande evento, abriu, né, o Teatro Municipal para a Produção Negra, né, e também o objetivo dele era internacionalizar a cultura da dança, né, a partir do corpo negro, né, um corpo afro-atlântico, né. E aí esses amigos do Ismael vão dar continuidade, né, e aí está no nosso horizonte várias relações de parcerias, né, no nível da formação da dança, de possibilitar que jovens negros, né, possam ter uma trajetória a nível internacional.
Ok. I'm laughing because you don't, humbly said, I want to make a small comment because it's not of my, exactly my part of expertise. He said that the Brazilian Black Movement, the Movimento Negro Unificado, has its own coordination of international affairs, and he is not an expert of the international affairs. And he said the NMU has its own section where you make a very small comment on that. It is small comment about this relationship. He invited that there are many elements in the program of action, the action program of the MNU, related to the connected to the international affairs. So he has a discussion on the part of solidarity to the idea that, sorry, the MNU has the idea in his own origins that all the struggles related to the oppressed in the world is point of interest, and I also support point of interest for the MNU. So for this reason, since its inception, the MNU has connections both with the Israelite, the Israelite youth in Brazil, but also supported the Palestine cause in the 1980s. So when we have the disaster in the United States related to the Katrina hurricane, and New Orleans recently, so the MNU sent a commission, from a Brazilian commission, to help the Katrina victims at that time. So, and also in the 1980s, we have some connections. We have some militants that were here in the United States. One of them, Hamilton Bernardes Cardoso, used to call himself as a Black Thunder to fact that was remembered by the one of the last visits of Angela Davis in Brazil. So, and also, they have a group in the MNU called Pensar Pan-Africanamente, something like think in a Pan-African perspective, is also a program television, a television program that MNU is supported by Ieda Leal, that promotes debates and contacts, international debates and international contacts related to the blacks all over the world, such as people from Cabo Verde and from Germany and other countries. Such as also, he has recently we have in Brazil an international conference that counted with the presence of the black academic, the black scholars, and Adawi himself, to discuss the sixth region, the sixth diasporic region. So, and he himself, mas é uma esporte of a group called MOA, M-O-A, called Movimento Afro-Latino. It's translated as Afro-Latin Movement, that usually this multi, this transnational group usually discuss issues related to the black populations, such as related to the COVID, the environment, and also the black culture itself. And lastly, he mentioned the institute recently founded related to the black culture in Brazil, inspired by a choreographer called Ismael Vivo. It's a institute called Ismael Vivo. It's a kind of a game word related to the ballet, the dance company, and also they promote the black presence inside the dance, the Brazilian, the classical dance in Brazil. So I think it is. Greg?
Oh yes, I'm still here. Great show and great information. I definitely look forward to some things that we can do specifically with the New Black Panther Party and MNU to definitely not only stay in contact and communication, you know, with one another, but to go along with something that Brother Eugene was asking and mentioning also. When we talk about economics and how that brings so much power to us, you know, as a people. And I tossed around the idea, with Eaton, some time ago in regards to, buying land. And I know that's something that Eugene, he provides so much great information to us in regards to buying land in the motherland of Africa. So I think that is something that is vitally important for us, is to build those kind of relationships economically that would provide us with some power and strength in other areas. I know we all do so many different things in our neighborhoods, in our communities, that bring so much joy and peace to us and those, in our neighborhoods and communities. But I would love for us to have a great, great discussion and put forth some ideas on how we can build economically, doing business between the two, countries. I know that there are many black businesses there in Brazil as well as here. And that support that we can provide to one another is something that's vital and critical, for us as a people and as a movement.
Yes. Eu vou traduzir aqui. Eu vou traduzir para ele. O Greg está informando que teve aqui a pergunta do Eugênio também está a questão das colaborações culturais e também das colaborações econômicas. Uma discussão que os colegas aqui nos Estados Unidos têm muito sobre essa questão do empoderamento econômico, que é parte do empoderamento político. Por isso que também é o interesse deles. Né?
Essa questão do empoderamento econômico e do empoderamento político é muitíssimo importante, mas no caso do Brasil, dada a mentalidade é muito, digamos, atrasada dos dirigentes, né, das classes dominantes no Brasil, não existe essa questão de investir, né, para fazer a economia girar, né, em termos de negócio. Né. O que se pensa é manter aquilo que se tem desde a época colonial, né? E de certa forma gozar desse bem-estar e tentar se sentir uma pessoa europeia. Então, tem uma visão muito, digamos, colonialista, né, sobre a gestão do povo brasileiro, em verdade. Na década de 80, 70, 80, houve a oferta, né, de acho que $400 mil que os negros americanos, afro-americanos, queriam investir, fazer uma parceria com os negros do Brasil. A ditadura militar barrou isso, impediu, né? Porque tenta-se fazer o tempo inteiro aquele negócio que não tem racismo, todo mundo vive bem, todo mundo vive em paz, né? Qualquer investimento com esse caráter étnico-racial soava como uma coisa, dizendo que aqui tinha uma coisa errada, né? E nós somos vítimas disso. A outra questão é que por mais de 100 anos, desde antes da abolição da escravatura, em 1888, houve a proibição do voto ao analfabeto. E essa proibição, ela só acabou um século depois, em 1988, quando o voto analfabeto foi permitido. Mas a questão é que, nesse período, não houve universalização da educação. Na verdade, houve um desestímulo para que as pessoas negras estudassem. Então, a Frente Negra Brasileira teve que criar sua própria escola. O Teatro Mental do Negro, em 42, 45, também tentou criar sua própria escola. Quando Paulo Freire começou a alfabetizar lá na década de 70, né, e criou um movimento, né, junto com o João Goulart, Movimento Nacional de Alfabetização, que ia década de 60. Né? Aí ele foi preso e esse método de educação foi censurado, foi abolido. Né? Somente em 1996 que a educação foi universalizada. Então, nós temos atualmente um problema de ter 70% de analfabeto funcional, né? Lê e não entende o que se lê. E a maioria dessas pessoas são da população negra, né? São vítimas de mais de 100 anos de um crime de lesa pátria, né? Que as famílias econômicas brasileiras impuseram ao povo. Então, esse sentido de ter, discutir a economia, ter renda para investir e fazer negócios com outros irmãos de outros países, é um processo que ainda estamos ainda em construção, dado a esse crime, né, que nós somos ainda vítimas, né, não somente da má educação, mas da não existência de uma educação de qualidade.
Uhum. Yes. Zudado presented a very complex explanation about the discussion of economics and politics related to the political empowerment of the black population in Brazil and its correlation with economical empowerment. Zudado called the attention how complex this relationship is in Brazil. First, he used to highlight the fact that the Brazilian elites still think and still act like in the colonial times. For this reason, many economic initiatives related to the black population in Brazil were usually impeded to occur because of the Brazilian elite. On this regard, he mentioned how in the early 1980s, when we have initiative for our black brothers from United States related to almost $500,000 of investment on the Brazilian black population. And this offer was refused by the Brazilian military at that time. According to the military point of view, Brazil, there's no racism in the 1980s, and any kind of initiative related to the related or focusing on the black population would be interpreted as a clear manifestation of racism. So, and also that don't call attention that besides the mentality of the Brazilian elite, we need also to consider that the educational, the average educational level of the Brazilian population as a whole, as a direct consequence of the Brazilian elite's lack of investment, of a deliberated lack of investment on the Brazilian education at that time. For this reason, he highlights elements related to the Brazilian history of education, the recent Brazilian history of education, that until 1988, the illiterate people in Brazil could not vote. So, and large part of the Brazilian population is black, is poor, and also has no access to education. So in this way, the economic issues in Brazil are necessary, but also we have a huge problem to solve before. It's related to our the mentality of the elites and also the education, the general education of the population, to think about, to talk and discuss about the economic advances. And we talk about the black population. So, Greg?
Yep, I'm still here. I got one thing for everybody to hear.
Black power!
Yo!
Yeah!
That's baby black power!
Black
in
power!
The house. Black also. Power, baby sis. We love you.
That's the little one. You know, she hangs up, you know, stays up with me pretty much every night that she can, you know, when the show is on. And we're definitely going to be passing the torch on, you know, to her and her generation when she gets, you know, older. But, you know, a great, great, great show tonight. I know time is winding down with you guys, Marcelo, because you guys are on a Zoom call. So if there's anything that you and Adele want to say to close out, you know, it would be fantastic. So I won't take up no more time. You guys can go ahead and close us out.
Zadão, talvez o nosso link do Zoom caia. Eu estou digitando aqui um link alternativo do Zoom, porque tem 3 minutos aqui. Mas a gente pode voltar e aí o pessoal está querendo saber se você quer fazer mais uma mensagem, mandar mais uma mensagem para os nossos amigos. Se o Zoom cair, você coloca nesse link de novo que a gente volta e continua essa mensagem. Vamos lá?
Só complementando a resposta, assim, em relação quem vive nos Estados Unidos, quem vive na Europa, tem dificuldade de entender o Brasil. O Brasil é uma gestão doentia. Né? Então, nós lutamos com muita dificuldade no sentido dessa mentalidade. A partir de 88, nós conquistamos uma coisa chamada direito de participação social, participação democrática no destino da nação via as conferências. Conferência, assim, a gente consulta a população, coleta as propostas, as ideias, sistematiza, debate, elege as melhores propostas a nível municipal, a nível estadual, vai a nível nacional. Aí depois que escolher as melhores propostas, envia para o parlamento. O parlamento debate, se aprova e aí vai se executar. Aí assim, com a saúde, seria com a educação, com todas as áreas de gestão do poder. Aí, no governo Temer, em 2016, houve uma alteração no Conselho Nacional de Educação. Alterou também o Fórum Nacional de Educação. No governo Bolsonaro, ele fez uma lei para proibir todas as formas de organização, de fórum, de conselho, não quer ouvir ninguém, proibiu. voltou à época da ditadura militar. Ora, mas está na lei, é a participação social. E é ouvir a todos e o parlamento de debate. O parlamento tem direita, tem esquerda, tem todos os níveis econômicos, empresários, tem todo mundo lá. Quem não pode debater no parlamento, que é ultrademocrático, como um parlamentar eleito por todos, vai debater aonde? Mas essa mentalidade é o que está nos governando. Mas o problema não é esse, senhor Jair Messias Bolsonaro. O problema é que ele tem um apoio de várias empresas, de várias igrejas, de vários fazendeiros, de várias organizações. Então, ele significa uma mentalidade. É essa mentalidade colonialista, opressora, racista, que nós estamos enfrentando. E é isso que nos impede de ter educação de qualidade, de ter uma geração de riqueza, de renda, para que a gente possa caminhar com a...
Opa! Just a minute, Greg. It seems like he fell down, but, you know, I'm connected again. I can start translating. So he presented a kind of a complement of the last our last question. So informing that the fact that there are many obstacles in Brazilian politics today that actually is a big problem to us as a black citizens in Brazil. And sometimes he says it's complicated to explain to the people from the Europe and the people from the United States the Brazilian situation and how the Brazilian political situation impacts directly on the black struggle. To illustrate that, he presents an example forming that the Brazilian Constitution presented the right of the citizens in Brazil discuss all the propositions before they send the Congresses, starting on, you know, on the small cities and the states, and then send it to the Congress. It's a Brazilian right. So, but in the last 10 years, this right to discuss and meet and to discuss freely about the, you know, about what kind of policies the Brazilian state might take. We're increasingly, it seems like the last year the Brazilian blacks are losing the rights of political participation in the government, especially in the last four years of the Bolsonaro government. So, and he said that also, the Brazilian government today, the Bolsonaro presidency, has also the support of Brazilian entrepreneurs, big companies, of farmers, and churches. So, and on this way, José Adão called attention that this group of interests, the Brazilian elites, have a kind of a mentality that supports this government, the far right government in Brazil today. And this mentality basically is a racist mentality. And this mentality is a big problem when we talk about education in Brazil. And as a consequence, so has a very serious impact when you think about the economic empowerment of the black population in Brazil today. So yeah, I'm back here. José Adão is back here when we connected again on Zoom. So I'm going to ask Adão, because what the message he wants to send to our friends here in the United States. Just a minute. Adão, tá aí? E a mensagem, você vai querer mandar uma mensagem para os nossos amigos, nossos companheiros aqui nos Estados Unidos. Parece que, infelizmente, nosso tempo está estamos passando nosso tempo aí já.
Mandar um agradecimento, né? Um abraço, foi muito legal ter essa conversa. O tempo é curto, né? Mas nós tivemos relações com o movimento Black Lives Matter desde 2011, né? tivemos aqui, eles participaram conosco num congresso, um seminário internacional, né, da luta contra o encarceramento em massa, que teve aqui na Faculdade de Direito do Lago São Francisco, com 1.000 participantes, né, que teve do Brasil, dos Estados Unidos, que da Argentina, foi um momento muito bom. É, eles tiveram também nos eventos da Coalizão Negra, né, aqui em São Paulo, né, onde Ieda Leal estava, eu estava, Dulce Pereira, Vilma Reis, né? E então, nessa área do movimento, né, contra as prisões, a repressão policial, né? Então, temos várias ações em conjunto. O que nos falta é a gente construir outras relações. E, nesse sentido, esse papo de hoje foi muito interessante, porque a gente pode abrir um leque, né, na área da educação, na área da saúde, na área da arte, na área da cultura. Né? Aí temos aí, em Nova York, tá a Betânia Nascimento, filha da Beatriz Nascimento, que está aí dando aula aí com vocês, uma referência. Temos Edileuza, né? Temos vários bailarinos aí nos Estados Unidos, né? Temos um estado, são três estados onde tem muitos brasileiros aí tocando a vida deles e tudo. Então, nós temos muitas coisas, né, a se debater e a se fazer conjuntamente. E esse papo inicial é um bom estímulo nesse sentido. Então, um forte abraço e um prazer ter participado.
He'd make a big thanks for be part of this discussion, and also he highlights the fact that this discussion opened different perspectives for discussion in the black population in Brazil. He also mentioned that we have recent contacts in Brazil with the Black Lives Matter movement. They were part of the Brazilian seminars discussing the mass incarceration and police violence in Brazil, with the participation of black representations from United States, Argentina, and Brazil too. So, and also the Brazilian Black Coalition. So, and also this discussion, she highlights the fact that this our meeting today highlight also some elements that lacks in our discussions, our relationship between the Brazilian black people, Brazilian black brothers and sisters, and also the American brothers and sisters, on the perspectives on the education, on culture, and so on. He mentioned many political activists, Brazilian political activists, that they are right now working in the United States. They are working in academia, on the culture, many black dancers, they are part of the company, the dancing companies in all over the states. So, and he also considered this our meeting as an initial meeting as a first meeting, you know, for many contacts that we can make abroad. And what you say in Portuguese, big hug, forte abraço, for all the brothers and sisters here in the United States.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful show. I thank you guys tremendously for being on tonight. And also, Marcelo, you know, you and I, we're going to continue to stay, you know, in contact. But just let Adal know that, us meeting just a few, you know, weeks ago is just the beginning, just the tip of the iceberg. And I intend for us to build some great, great relationship. One thing I definitely and truly always believe is that, you know, what we're doing today is not for us. It's for those to come after us. The same way that our ancestors and many of our elders who are still with us worked tremendously hard to lay the foundation and set the example for us to pass on the torch, you know, to the next generation to come. So, you know, I definitely look forward to not only, you know, traveling back to Brazil. I've been there, you know, a couple of times. The only time I spent in São Paulo was at the airport waiting for a connecting flight. But but now I know that I truly have, you know, some brothers and sisters that, you know, I could, you know, just stay there, you know, for a while, you know, if you know, if I feel, you know, not so much if I feel like it, but when I get back there, I know that São Paulo would be on the list of places for me to stay. So we had a great, great show tonight. You know, Brother Eugene, you know, anything you want to say? Because I know the Zoom time is about to wind down. So, Brother Eugene, if you're still there, anything that you want to share or add?
Yeah, no, brother. I appreciate being a part of this dialogue this evening. And certainly we will be keeping in touch with Brother Oliveira and Brother Dr. Marcelo Jose from Sao Paulo, Brazil. We're going to be connecting with you all soon because we definitely want you all to participate in some projects that we have going on in the mother continent, the jumpstart of the African Industrial Revolution. And we certainly certainly think that your organization, the Unified Black Movement of Sao Paulo, could be a great fit for this upcoming conference and dialogue to include our black brothers and sisters from Brazil to participate in the upcoming conference in the year of 2022. So thank you, brothers, for coming on and sharing this delightful information with the black community. And we certainly hope to be in touch with you very, very, very soon to continue our dialogue and discussion, helping to improve our communities worldwide. Black power to you, brothers.
Oh yeah, Eugene, I just want to add. Before Marcelo closes out, Eugene, that Marcelo is here in the States. He's in Austin, Austin, Texas. Austin, correct, Marcelo?
Yes.
Yeah, so he's right here. He's a rock throws away from you.
Okay, well, that's what's up. Definitely, Brother Marcelo, we need to get you connected in with the New Africa Network, and that will certainly be able to provide some information to you on a regular basis how to get engaged in both the political and economic arena that the New Black Panther Party and the New Africa Network, as well as other grassroots organizations, have been forming over the last 3 years. So black power to you, brother, and I look forward to being in contact with you in the very near future. Peace and blessings to you and your family. Under love.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you.
Eu, Marcelo,
diga.
Antes de encerrar, eu tenho que agradecer aos muitos amigos e amigas brasileiros, né, do movimento negro e meus amigos da maneira geral que vieram para ouvir. Eu estava com um certo frio na barriga, meio ansioso e tudo, né? Eles deram maior força, maior apoio para mim. Então, gratidão, né, a todos esses que estiveram aqui presentes, né, até o momento, ou que só passaram por um breve momento aqui. Então, gratidão a todos vocês que vieram prestigiar e fortalecer.
Okay.
Muito grato.
They'll make a left. Let's, you know, let's speak, you know, call attention that many Brazilians, many black Brazilian activists, they were right now listen us in, you know, and the internet, they, you know, and the support, the Brazilian support, and I don't tell, present this idea that, oh, I was a little bit nervous before, you know, this presentation, and the support is a paramount, you know, to our work. So personally, if I don't permit me to, and, you know, I just want to say thank you to everyone to listen to us today, especially my friends in Brazil, our friends in Brazil, and brothers and sisters in Brazil. So, and it was an honor, as I told you guys. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, man. Looking forward to the next time. Black power.
Yeah. Yeah, black power.